There is a federal court case happening right now, and it's surrounding AI-based hiring systems and whether or not those systems unlawfully screened out qualified applicants. Why does this apply to Connecticut? Well, it's interesting because the last two legislative sessions, there have been efforts to have better controls over artificial intelligence. In one regard, looking at how AI could be misused online, certainly better protecting children who could be on social media, for example. But the other thing that it's been looking at is unlawful hiring practices. And it was actually State Senator James Maroney from right here in Milford who was putting this forward the last two legislative sessions, and it didn't go forward ultimately. The biggest thing was Governor Lamont said, we can't be the first state to pass something like this. It's just something that we need to get a better understanding of. And what's interesting is coming back to this federal court case, it's being called, according to Forbes, one that could become the largest collective action in U.S. history. So to talk more about this and understand, again, the implications it could mean even for our state here in Connecticut, we welcome back to the show Attorney Gary Phelan, who is with Hurwitz, Sagarin, and Slosberg here in Milford, but also is a law professor at Quinnipiac University. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Great. Good morning, Melissa.
Tell us a little bit more about this lawsuit first, Gary.
Derek Mosley filed over 100 job applications, and what he was discovering is that he was being rejected within often minutes. What he started to do is, he couldn't understand how can they be rejecting me so quickly. So he started to then file them in like the middle of the night and was still getting rejected within either minutes or hours. That led him to retain a lawyer in California. And that has led to a class action lawsuit, which was just recently certified as a class action, saying that AI tools are being used to screen out applicants. One of the ways in which they're being screened out is through the algorithms used by Workday.
What is Workday for people who aren't familiar?
Workday is an AI platform, and it's the largest AI software platform that does a variety of tasks for employers, including things like payroll, but also the application process. Approximately 67% of Fortune 500 companies use Workday. It's also used by 175 countries around the world for purposes of recruitment.
Interesting. I mean, in particular, have there been issues with, so like the gentleman you were talking about, was the discrimination because of age, or do we have any idea of, for example, like were older workers typically discriminated against, or was there a demographic that has been an issue with Workday before?
No, I mean, it's just been really surfaced because of this lawsuit. Now, one of the things that, you know, how it was allegedly accomplished is not that the employers would say, you know, screen out older applicants, but what what Workday would use is look at the training and the age demographics, for example, of the of that particular employer, and then try to match the demographics of their workplace with the applicants. So
if
there were
not
many
older workers, right? Is that what you're saying? So like if you have if your demo, for example, at your workplace is 45, then so like Workday or the AI site essentially was recognizing, okay, then we need to fall within this age range. So if you fell outside of that age range, you weren't even like looked at, basically you were passed up. Am I understanding that correctly?
Right.
Got it.
Right. So let's say 2%, they only had 2% of workers over 60, then they would screen out applicants by the, you know, indicators such as dates on their resume, how long they had worked. AI could figure out that and then screen those individuals out. So most of the older workers were being excluded immediately.
So then I don't know who that falls on. Again, we've got employment attorney Gary Phelan here to talk about this. Who does that fall on then? I mean, it sounds like almost a software problem then. If you've got AI deciding that this is the age range you're looking for, but it didn't come directly from the employer. I mean, does it fall on them, or is that on the employer who decided to use Workday as their application hiring process and they didn't configure or fix, hey, we don't have an age limit here, or hey, we don't have a, you know, anything limit here? Who I guess is responsible for that?
At least in this case, it's going to be just the Workday. The kind of a creative theory is they were sued as an agent of the employer. So even though the employer didn't tell them to do this, or there's no evidence supporting that, because they were acting as the agent, that the that they will now potentially be liable for employment discrimination in their role as an agent of because the employer had essentially delegated that part of the hiring process to them.
Is Workday something, I'm going to try to figure out how to word this. So you know how, for example, school districts will hire a consulting firm if they want to find the next superintendent of schools, right? So they'll bring in a consulting firm, for example. But you have to pay right. them, obviously, to do that search. Is that the same with Workday? Would you pay to use the service, like the AI database or whatever you'd call Workday? Would you pay to use that? There's a reason I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why, you know, just like any other vendor, you use, you know, they're paid in order to handle HR-related tasks, such as pay, you know, payroll, such as hiring process. So they've essentially delegated that task to them.
Right. So, I mean, then you can understand, I guess, why Workday would be the only one being sued in this situation. Like, what if the employer said, hey, we're going to invest the money to use Workday to find X, Y, and Z positions in this company? That's solely the job of Workday, right? Or does anything become liable on the employer? Maybe not in this case, but in general.
I think it potentially, as this sort of area develops, and again, we're on the cutting edge of you know, kind of the future of employment law, is I think at this point, because of this, you know, what's known in the employment law arena about this case and about the issue, I can see potentially an employer, even if they just sort of say, hey, we're not involved, that their failure to take steps to make sure that the, you know, that the software vendor is not engaging in discrimination, that they could be held potentially liable for not doing something in advance to make sure that those tools aren't used in a discriminatory manner.
I mean, is that easy enough? I'm not familiar with Workday, I have to confess. But is that easy enough to override how Workday works and say, hey, we don't have an age limit, for example? Like, can you customize or put in very simple details? Like, we don't have a gender or age discrimination. Like, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a discrimination. But, like, is there a way to customize saying, you know, don't look at these things in the application? I don't know.
That's starting to be something that employers are looking into. There's various ways. One is, for example, it's called blind screening, to remove from any you know, to train AI to remove any data points such as you know, the number of years worked, to exclude from or anything that would indicate age, race, gender, and to also include in the contract saying that the AI vendor agrees to comply with all discrimination laws. So that gives them the vendor an incentive, because if they're so they won't be sued for breach of contract by not complying with the law. Also, to use AI rather than to screen out applicants, to rank them. And so that way they might like rank the top 100. But then to have some sort of human input, and that's what's lacking here, is so that even if somebody's not in the top 100, let's say, to have a human from the employer who's looking at that information and seeing if there are any qualified applicants who are being screened out. And another, I think what this may end up ultimately doing is removing even you know, focusing less on things like resumes and having job tasks like tests or skill sets that have to be performed. And that because that's the most neutral way.
Mm. It certainly, I think, brings to attention if employers here in Connecticut are using AI-based platforms like Workday to hire. double checking and I think taking those extra steps, even if you are paying obviously for that service, just knowing that there can be hiring discrimination processes in place. And so to think about that, but also I think it's another call to action as we head into another legislative session in a matter of weeks for lawmakers to try and tackle this again, because clearly there's already a pending federal case right now on this. And certainly we could see it here in Connecticut as well, which, by the way, lawmakers in Connecticut have been trying to sound the alarm about for years. Gary Fallon, appreciate the work that you do, and thank you so much for telling us about this. We definitely want to track this case and, again, talk about the significance of it for Connecticut in near future. Thank you so much.